Lord God, we pray that everyone in the hearing of my voice or reading what I have said will be touched by your Spirit, wooed by your Spirit, and enfolded by your Spirit. Be present with us all across this entire world. In Jesus' name, amen. I grew up in a military family, and we lived literally all over the United States and even overseas. Our family attended church wherever we lived, and this was base chapels, Methodist churches, Presbyterian churches. And yet, I do not recall ever being exposed to Ash Wednesday or Lent until in high school, well into high school. Some friends of mine came to school on Wednesday, and they had smudged crosses on their forehead, Ash Wednesday. And I was quite intrigued with it, but I still did not really understand it until many years later. But I wanted to say that I appreciate what Pastor Brian said and how clear he laid out the history that we have with Ash Wednesday and with the season of Lent. For tonight, we begin a most important, somber time of preparation, one where we are called to draw near to God, humility, repentance, and the renouncing of both personal and corporate sin within the body of Christ. This is indeed a very serious time. Sin is serious business. Make no mistake about it. Sin is corrosive, destructive, and it can eat us alive, literally, physically, and spiritually. The Hebrew prophet Isaiah, writing some 750 years before Christ's birth, he says in chapter 30, verse 15, "For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust is your confidence." However, God, speaking through his prophet of old, knew the heart of humanity. And thus was added, "But you would have none of it." We can look at what has been in our lives and in the world, whether in the near past or in the far off distance. And we can focus on what we have done, dwell on it, ponder it. And if we classify ourselves in our minds that it was good, it was positive, we may be tempted to stop there. We can say, enough. I've done my part, and now I'm going to go on and stare at my wall of fame. Sounds like the microphone has gone on and off. Okay. And do you know this is true? Many of us have walls of fame, awards, recognition, whatever. A man, he is very famous. He still is. He has a room bigger than many people's homes. And it's filled from top to bottom and everywhere in between with trophies and awards and plaques and massive types of recognition plastered all over them. All kinds of showcases. These are all accomplishments from this man's past. He doesn't garner them anymore. Folks, that time is past for him. Yet the memorial is there all the same. I'm not really saying anything bad about that per se. It's not my business. But if we get stuck in our past, whether we say, Oh, my life is good. I've accomplished my goals. I've won the prize. I have made it. Well, we also might just as well say, but that person over there, they didn't do so good. They didn't do what I did. Or perhaps we judge them. We devalue them. We hold them in contempt. They have no awards. They haven't done so well. Or we might even say that of ourselves. We might feel like we personally never measured up. Didn't make the grade. We're not valuable. In fact, many of us have that kind of wall. A wall of shame. A wall of failed relationships, failed businesses, failed attempts at being somebody. Yes, folks, we have those walls too. They're usually not nearly as visible, but these walls are every bit as insidious. Both of these, though, whichever kind of wall we're talking about, are merely distractions from what we are to be about. The Apostle Paul said, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." And he's talking about God's call all through his life. "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." This is Paul writing a couple thousand years ago. Constantly, the Word of God tells us to persevere, to press on, to keep seeking, to keep praying, and by all means, keep walking out our faith. Day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. But for many of us, when we hear these words, "press on, keep going, buck up," maybe we hear it that way, they ring shallow, perhaps even feel empty. We have become discouraged. Many feel abandoned, alone, afraid, and yes, worn quite thin. When someone says, "keep going," we sometimes want to scream out, to say, "I can't do it anymore." And you know, neither can I. Not in my own strength. We were never intended to figure all this out, to get it right, to be on top of the heap. That, my friends, is all rubbish. It's from the pit of hell. It's lies. Noted Bible teacher David Guzik points out that Isaiah 30, the passage I just read, is not a passage of condemnation, but one of hope. It is a passage where God himself is sending out his message very clearly about what he desires of his children and of what happens when we turn aside from his love and faithfulness. For it is in our turning toward or away from God and our drawing close to him or away that is the outcome of our lives. When we draw close to him, we find rest and not striving. We find quietness in the trusting of him and not of ourselves. We find confidence in his ability within us, not our own. So for me, what I see in Ash Wednesday, having grown up around it, but not really knowing about it, really. But what I see in this Lenten season is a great time of reset. A time to step back, but yet lean into Jesus Christ. And allow him to do as the psalmist in Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in your everlasting way." That's the reset. What do I mean by that? Think about this. We humans awake, and by the time we roll out of bed and face the day, we're already veering off course. We cannot help but do so, for we are broken. We are, in fact, broken to our very core, to the deepest parts of us. I didn't say you, I said we, us, all of humanity. This is not a talking down. This is a talking with and holding together. Because the message tonight, while it is heavy in the sense of talking about mourning and ashes, it is also the breakthrough, the redo that God wants for us and that we so desperately need. We are broken, as I said, all the way down into our DNA. And as such, we veer, we trip, we fall, we break ourselves, and we break others. We break relationships, we break promises, we break resolutions we just made a few months ago. So is that where we leave this brokenness? Just broken, that's all? My answer will surprise you. My answer is yes. Yes, it is. For we are not only can't fix ourselves, we can't fix others. We are helpless and we are hopeless. Let these dual truths sink in. Let me repeat these two truths. We are desperately hopeless and helpless, period. If you turn me off now, you will miss the essence of what I'm saying. Give me a moment longer. And, A-N-D, and there is an earth-shattering, heart-pounding, explosive and this and is the biggest and in human history. And we are loved, and we are treasured, and we have a creator God who will never give up on his creation. So while we are not able to fix ourselves, nor dig ourselves out of our pits of despair and darkness, God is, and God desires to. And there is that word again, and that is the word for us today, this Ash Wednesday, and for this season of Lent. This is the time for us to turn toward God and not away, to bow our knees and our hearts, to surrender who we think we are, let go of our past mistakes and our hurts and our brokenness, and let go of our present stuckness and sinfulness. Oh, and our so-called success and pride and self-reliance, and. There is that word and again. And without God, this and could be our undoing. The and of our stubbornness, the end of our hate for others, and ultimately our own self-loathing. In all of the other muck and mire that humanity has garnered and gathered around itself for millennia. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, with him, there will always be an and for his children. You see, the Lord God already knows what a mess we each are. He knows, and he took care of it all once for all. He knows, and he took care of you and me. I believe that when he was on the cross, he saw it all, and he felt it all, even though we had not even been born yet. He knew. And he went that way anyway because he loves his creation. Don't get me wrong. It takes whatever time we have on this earth to work through all the ands in our lives, the messes we have made, the hurts we have caused, the sin we have committed. But the beauty of the God we serve is that this God, our God, loves us with an infinite love. And the biggest and of all is this. He is calling each of you and me to turn to him afresh and anew. Today, tonight, whenever you hear this message, he is calling your name. Yes, yours. Yours. Wherever you sit, wherever you find yourself, Jesus is himself calling you to trade in your filthy rags for the riches of his kingdom. He is saying, trade in your ashes for my heavenly garments. In finishing, let me say this. In all of who we are, what we have done, where we find ourselves this day, I believe with all my heart, it is imperative that we look through the lens of what God's intent is for humanity. The Apostle Peter, taking his words from any dozens of Old Testament passages, and believe me, the Old Testament is replete with talking about what he says here in 1 Peter 2:9. Peter is saying this to the church. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay, so what does that mean for us tonight? I believe it means that we say and we act and we live as though our faith matters. Like the mighty leader of the Israelites, Joshua had all these hundreds of thousands of people that Moses had given over to him to lead into the promised land. Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That means turning toward God and not away. It means saying, I surrender all. I give up. Here I am. Take me. Mold me. Shape me. Break me if you must. But make me into who you want me to be. That's what God desires. His call to us tonight is simple, and yet it is profound. He is asking us to renounce our sin. This isn't talking about a one-time deal. You remember what I said. This is a reset. And I believe we need a reset season. And I think we need resets all the time in our lives. Just like the seasons that many people experience. Some don't. Some have everything. Or, I mean, the same weather all the time. But many of us, the seasons change, and there's a reason for that. What God says, renounce our sin. Repent and turn away. Relinquish everything that we can to Jesus. And in so doing, we walk day by day in his great reset, his transformation and regeneration. By his grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not telling you this is a self-help program. This is a give up and let Jesus in program. And that, my friends, I believe is our highest paramount duty and calling. To live into his calling, us, to be his precious living possession forever. You see, we were created in the image of our Heavenly Father, and we were purposed from before time began to be the beloved bride of Jesus Christ, the one who gave all and cherishes us forever and ever. Let us pray. Lord God, we relinquish all. We let go. We give you everything to the left and the right, behind and before, inside of us and out. Our hearts and our minds, our bodies, our spirits, our emotions and our wills are yours, Lord. Do with us as you will. Let us live completely for you. Amen.